Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.
It is Thursday, and our financial and consumer-related expert, Owen McGee, is here with us on Lunchtime Live to answer all of your money and financial-related questions and queries. So if you've any, text for Owen. You can send it into us here into studio. It's 53106. It'll cost you 30 cents. Or you can drop us an email as well. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Owen, happy new year, first of all.
And you too.
Yeah,
I missed you.
Did you? Well, I missed you too, Owen. we haven't had you on in a few weeks. Good to be back. Listen, tell us, look, I suppose we're talking about being back in the start of the new year, and there's lots of us got wind yesterday that the money that's going to have to be repaid on the PUP and the wage subsidy scheme, not something we want to hear at the start of January, but what's the story there?
Not something you want to hear, but absolutely not something anybody needs to be worrying about,
okay.
Right? So the situation is that if you were on wage subsidy throughout the year last year, this is the thing your boss would have signed up to and put you on, and revenue was paying some of your wages, and hopefully your boss was able to pay you some too. The tax in the first wage subsidy, there was two wage subsidy schemes that changed in September, but the first one, the money was given to you, but there was no tax taken out of it. It was subject to tax, but there was no tax taken out of it. So you were getting it tax-free effectively, and you need to pay that tax back. And the second wage subsidy, the tax was taken out of it, so there was no problem there at all. But you will have to pay the tax on any money you received in the first wage subsidy, provided you earned enough in the entire year to pay tax. The same applies to the PUP payment. So the PUP payment was paid to you. It is subject to tax, but no tax was taken out of it. But just to put this in perspective, the first thing is you were able to now log on to, I believe it's now, it was supposed to be tomorrow. I think they're a little bit ahead of the game, but I believe you can log in now and you can check and see how much tax is due. So revenue now will have done a calculation. How much did you earn last year? How much tax did you pay? And what's the difference, if there is a difference? And you can log in and see how much it is. If you have got a bill, first of all, revenue is not expecting you to pay it at the earliest until next year. If you have the money now, pay it now if you want. But at the earliest they're expecting it is next January. And even next January, and I'm talking 2022 here, even next January, if you can't afford it then, revenue have said they will allow you spread it out over 4 years.
Okay, and well, that's fair enough.
Yeah, they'll just adjust your tax credits. You'll pay a little bit of extra tax every month. And then the next question people are asking is how much? Now, Andrea, anybody who's listening to you and I talking about this or following me on Instagram, I've been telling people to put 30% of away of the wage subsidy scheme you've been getting or the PUP payment you've been getting. And I always said that I was completely over-egging it. Like, that was going to be far too much, but I wanted people to be, I knew I was going to be wrong, but I wanted to be on the right side of wrong. Just to put this in perspective, imagine you were, in simple terms, you're on 350 a week working, you start working, you're on 350 a week PUP payment. What happened if you did that for the entire year? You'd earn roughly 18 grand. You'd owe roughly 400 euros in tax. If you have to pay that over 4 years, that's 2 euros a week. So don't lose sleep over this. Revenue will work with you. You don't have to do any. If you have the money there and you want to pay it off, pay it off. Go for it.
Okay, so just to be clear on those figures, Owen, you're saying roughly if you've been in receipt of the pandemic unemployment payment, so we'll use the figure of the 350 euro since March. Wasn't it March when it came in or start of April?
I think March. It was the end of March, and there was 22 weeks in total you could have been on it from, I think it's around 22 weeks. Now, it's really important to connect that with how much were you earning when you weren't on the PUP payment. So when you weren't on the PUP payment, if that throws your salary up to 30 grand or 40 grand, then the tax starts to change. But if you were just on a flat 350 when you were working and 350 when you were on the PUP payment, well, then the tax bill is going to be roughly around 400 euros. And I'm really rounding there and trying to keep it very simple.
Okay.
It's going to be roughly 400 euros. The other thing just to say there, though, Andrea, like most PAYE workers, most people who get a pay slip once a week never do a tax return. And if they did, the average refund they would get would be 1,000 euros. That's the average refund that a PAYE worker gets. Like, people don't realize you can put medical expenses through, you can put other things through, even the working from home stuff. Like, you can put some of your electricity and your light and heat bills through. And if people started to do that, they would fairly quickly knock out any tax that they owed on the PUP or the wage subsidy. So this is a good year to do it.
Just before we leave this, I have a text in here from one of our listeners, 53106, at a cost of 30 cents to the News Talk tax line. And this listener says they've been in receipt of the pandemic unemployment 350 euro payment since it started. They'd previously been earning somewhere between 35 to 40,000 euro. Can Owen tell me how much tax I'm going to have to pay?
Yeah, I would definitely say if you got, like, I would be talking in around the 30% there, that of the pandemic unemployment payment they received.
That's about 100.
So if they receive 10 weeks at 350, that's $3,500. I would be saying, do you just be budgeting for kind of €1,000? But you don't need Owen to tell you. You can now log onto your revenue website and it'll tell you. You can log in. If people don't have an account with revenue, that's something you do need to do. It's like you just need to register. It's a very straightforward process. And the revenue website, in fact, tax return this year is very easy. Revenue have pre-populated all the information that they know about you onto your form for you to make it much easier for you to put the stuff through.
So this is on the Ross.
Yes, Ross. Website. So there's two. There's My PAYE and there's Ross. Ross is typically for self-employed people, and then My PAYE account is the other one. So just once you get into the website, you'll see it fairly clearly what you need to do next.
Okay, there's going to be a drive to the revenue website now, I have no doubt, this afternoon to find that out. This listener's wondering, Karen has got in touch with us here. A couple of questions for Owen. It's just on the PUP and the wage subsidy scheme. Does Owen advise, is it best to pay in a lump sum or to pay in part over the 4 years if you can afford both options?
This is brilliant, right? Because the reality is revenue have already said they're not charging anybody interest. And if you're really kind of financially savvy about this, what you would do is you would say, oh, sure, then I'll let revenue carry the can for 4 years and it's an interest-free loan and I'll do something else with my money. The problem I have with that is most people, if let's say you have €1,000 in your bank account now to pay off this tax bill because you were prepared for it and you decide I'll stick it out over 4 years, I'd be fairly sure the €1,000 won't go on to something meaningful. You'll probably spend it online shopping or something tonight. And
not
you'll
if you're
our
last listener.
maybe not. But like the thing about it is that if you are going to be absolutely disciplined about what you do with the money, I can see an argument where you were going to do it. But I would promise you 80% of people, if you have the money and you're ready to pay off the tax bill, don't spread your problem out over 4 years. Just get it off your back because you will be paying for it. You have to pay for this one way or the other. And I just think just don't carry problems in the future. You don't know what the future holds and you don't want to have extra taxes to be paying in the future.
Now, something different. When I submit my medical expenses, etc. to revenue next week, can I also submit my spending on local cafes for a certain time period? Wasn't there a scheme to encourage us to spend in local amenities? Oh yeah, that's the app, isn't it?
Yeah, the stay and spend was, and that's still running. It's not that it's gone. Stay and spend was from October until April, and basically you could get 20% of up to €650 back, I think is the figure off the top of my head. And if you paid for a hotel or a restaurant, a couple of rules around that one. A coffee shop, you needed to spend more than €25, I think is what it was. I'm getting caught off guard slightly because it's a couple of months since I looked at this, but you had to spend more than €25, and the bill, that €25 couldn't include alcohol. So yes, if you have your receipts, you can still do that. The scheme is still open. And one of the things is if the world is open in March, the scheme will still be available and you can go and book yourself into a hotel and avail of that scheme if you want to. It's unfortunate that scheme, it just didn't get the use because we went into lockdown 2 and then into lockdown 3 and nobody could do anything. But it might get extended.
Yeah, well, we'll maybe come back to that one again. This listener, what can a post-primary teacher do if they've started after 2011 about trying, what's the best way to set up their pension? Could they buy AVCs or what can they do to set up for their retirement earlier than the age of 67?
Yeah, AVCs is the absolute thing. And this is one of the problems, like, if you look at the amount of people who have pensions, we have about 47% of the population, of the working population, have pensions in Ireland. But if you strip out public sector workers, that drops down to 1 in 3 people has a pension in the private sector. But of the public sector people, sometimes one of the things they get caught up in is oh, I have a pension. That's that box ticked. Yeah. It quite often isn't. Like, the pension is very, very good in the public sector, but that doesn't mean you're not completely, like, if you want to go early or you want to top up what you're going to get, you do need to do AVCs. In most circumstances, you can get a good advisor, a good broker, a good financial planner. Sometimes through the unions, like the teachers' unions or the nurses' unions or the doctors' union, you can go through them and you can get advice through them. But don't assume because you're in the public sector, you're sorted. You do need to still row your own boat a little bit as well. So be careful of that. And AVCs is definitely the route to go.
Okay. Can you ask about benefit in kind on company cars? The revenue website still states that the COVID plan ends on the 31st of December, where they took your January 20 BIK as the balance for 2020. Both other media outlets also reporting that it will be reinstated, but still no official update.
Yeah, well, there is no official update, I think, is the best piece of the information to take on that. And I don't have any official update or unofficial update. What I will do, though, is I have some good ways of checking into these things. And we might come back to that one next Thursday. Will you just get someone on the team to send me on that by email? And I'll come back to that next Thursday, because I do think it's something that people would be interested in. So let's see if I can get some unofficial update on that before next Thursday.
Absolutely. Paul has got in touch and has a question for you. What help is available to first-time buyers who wish to purchase a second-hand home, or is there any help available? Myself and my partner are currently living at home, saving for a deposit and a mortgage. We wish to purchase the family home, but it needs extensive work, and there's siblings to buy out also. Are there any supports available for the likes of me?
Yeah, and you see, this is one of the things that comes at me all the time on social media. There's lots of things out there, like you've got for first-time buyers, like even the fact that they have to come up with a 10% deposit as opposed to a 20% deposit, the fact that you can use Help to Buy, you can use Rebuilding Ireland. It's less so, and I think less so for second-time buyers. It's in fact, there's very little, if anything, for second-time buyers. And I think the government's attitude to it is that there are so many people who are trying to get onto the property ladder that the second-time buyer, even in awful circumstances like that, well, not awful circumstances, but in a circumstance where you bought a house, maybe something didn't work out or a relationship broke down and you're going again, and you really are on the back foot. But that's the way it's been, like,
but
since,
this is remember, a, yeah, but this is a first-time buyer, though. It's just that they're looking at a second-hand home, because most of us as first-time buyers, she couldn't afford to buy a new build.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem. Like, if you look at the Help to Buy scheme in particular, right, Help to Buy is where you can get 4 years of your taxes back to a maximum of €30,000 to help you on the deposit. But it only applies to brand-new homes. And brand-new homes means that the prices tend to be a little bit more expensive. There was figures in October of last year that showed us 40,000 people applied and were approved for Help to Buy, and less than 20, there was 19,500 people actually drew it down. You should be able to use Rebuilding Ireland there, depending on your scheme. It was a second-hand house is what they're
second-hand
buying.
Rebuilding house, buying out siblings.
Yeah, like there are, that's one of the things. But just remember, like, it is a second-hand house. The biggest problem that a second-time buyer has that person doesn't have is the 20%. That's the real killer. And I really, really feel for people who are in negative equity and the house is unsuitable, or they're in an apartment and now they've got kids and they weren't planning on being here this long, and all of a sudden they have no way of moving on to the next one. It just makes it really difficult, some of the rules around the second-time buyer. But I'm not sure it's going to get a high pile of priority. I don't think it's going to be a big issue for government at all, to be fair, Andrea. I just think that they are trying to focus on getting first-time buyers sorted out. New houses increases supply. Supply is the biggest problem. And that's just the way the kind of cycle works, unfortunately.
Financial expert Owen McGee, thanks as always for joining us here on Lunchtime Live. We will be speaking to Owen again next Thursday. So if we didn't get to your question, don't worry, we will keep it over. And we'll come back to Owen at 1:40 next Thursday afternoon. Thanks to all of you for getting in contact with us here on the programme today. There was so many callers we didn't get a chance to speak to, so we might try and get back to some of those tomorrow. You can always send us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com if there's any issue you'd like to raise. My thanks to the production team today. Philip Kelly on sound, senior producer Claire Darmody, producer Sean Reedy, with research by Ross Leahy. Sean Moncrief, though, he's up next. I'll be back at 12 tomorrow afternoon with Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Green and Blacks. A rich, smooth, and truly delicious chocolate experience.